This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Okay, let's get the show underway. It is Sportsnet Today here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Logan Gordon along with you on this Wednesday, November 2nd. We made it through the snow to our Sportsnet 960 downtown studios in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Lots to get to on the show today. We'll recap what we saw at the Scotiabank Saddledome last night with the Flames and the Seattle Kraken in just moments. A third period that looked like it was going to go the Flames' way very early on, but then shifted and leads to back-to-back third-period losses for the Flames and their first two-game losing streak of the season. Of course, our Flames insider Peter Labardius will be with us in just moments to break it all down. Wednesday, of course, also means another edition of Ask Andy, our fantasy football guru, set to join us with a post-trade deadline edition of Ask Andy. We'll chat some NFL football, get some fantasy football questions in for you as well. The text line always open at 960-960. Questions, comments, queries. And if you want to get your questions in ahead of Ask Andy, you can do that as well. But we'll kick the program off like we always do by going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcoming in our pal, our Flames insider for the Gemini Group. It is Peter Labardius, the Gemini Group. Home Renovations knows your home renovation should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group, now offering Air Miles Reward Miles. Visit GeminiGroup.ca. Good afternoon, Lou. How are you, sir?
Well, it's lovely out there, isn't it?
It's real nice out there, eh? If you love snow.
Gross with a capital G.
Whew. Not loving any of that, but yes, it's really hockey weather now. And we can say that without a doubt.
You know, it's nice weather if you're part polar bear.
Yeah, no kidding. We all got a first-hand taste of it after going to the parking lot at the Saddle Dome last night after the Flames and the Seattle Kraken. 5-4 the final there, Lou. I mentioned a little bit of it. It was a strange game overall, I felt, including that third period where I sure thought after it was 4-2 early on that we were cruising to a Flames decision here, but the Seattle Kraken had other ideas. What did you make of it last night at the Saddle Dome?
Well, I'd probably describe it for the Flames in one word: uncharacteristic. And one of those games that, you know, they had all kinds of opportunities to put away and just let a game crack inside, hang around long enough to take advantage of some mistakes and toss another L in the loss column. You know, two turning points for me really in the game. First period just wasn't very good, bottom line, and Seattle came out and played really, really well and deserve a lot of credit for that. The Flames obviously went to the room and said this is nowhere near the standard we hope to play with on an every night basis. Jumped into a 2-1 lead. There was a review on the Kadri goal as fifth of the year. And Seattle got it wrong. Flames had a power play opportunity. And actually, I thought Seattle's kill led to some momentum for them and eventually a tying goal. Third period, Flames again come out, do what they really want to do. They score two very, very quick goals and, you know, took a penalty, allowed Seattle, who went into the game operating at 27% on the power play, to score a miscue all over the place on the entry, on a drop pass, on the power play, shorthanded goal, and, you know, then a turnover inside Seattle's territory led to a 4-on-2, and Binnear scores the winner. So, disappointing, uncharacteristic, and, you know, hopefully a game going forward that maybe they can look back on as a group and just say this isn't happening again.
Speaking of that, I wanted to play this clip from Nikita Zadorov last night in the locker room post-game, you know, talking about, and this was something that a couple of players that did media last night, Lou, mentioned was, you know, hey, we're not a young group here. These sort of games where we get up and let a lead go, that's uncharacteristic for us, and we've got to, you know, own up to that. Here's Nikita Zadorov, who was around it in a lot of different ways last night, speaking to that fact post-game in the Flames locker room.
I mean, we're not a young group of players. You know, we're definitely one of the oldest and experienced team in the league, and it's definitely unacceptable for us. You know, it could happen to young teams, but it cannot happen to us. So I think it's definitely on all of us. You know, we made individual mistakes, individual mental mistakes on the ice in the crucial minutes, and it cost us a game.
Well, you can't argue with it. And I pointed on this very hit, the fact that in a couple of earlier games this season, I thought the Flames showed great maturity on their way to a win. Last night was not one of those situations. It's been an odd last number of days for the team. Obviously, a bit of a gut punch for sure Saturday night. Lots of space in between games. Logan, even going to the rink last night, just had that, you know, they've played so many good opponents. They haven't played a lot. They're not in much of a rhythm. Thought it had a chance to be a bit of a sleepy Tuesday, but I always categorize it, thanks to, you know, a former Flames coach, Jeff Ward, who, you know, used to label that type of game as, you know, in the sport, it's not always what you take. It's what you leave, and they left too much.
Lots of talk heading into last night from us and other people, Lou, about the new look line combinations from Daryl Sutter. All four of the forward lines, had a different look last night. I know that it's always hard to evaluate just after one game, but can you give us a sense of what you thought they got accomplished last night? Was there any line that stood out for you at all in a positive way? What would you expect going forward from those lines?
Well, you know, it looked again at practice, even though unfortunately I wasn't able to make it today, that they might stay the same going into the game tomorrow against Nashville. I quite like the Lindholm line last night. I see great signs right now in Elias's game, and he's just too good a player. Had a couple of assists last night, was around it. You know, he was hard on pucks. And I think, you know, playing with Milan, who provided great energy and physicality and, you know, really in a couple of different shifts, almost tried with his leadership and will to drive his team to a victory. You know, Michael and Blake have just been so solid. Michael's playing such good hockey, and one of these nights, Blake's going to go off. I mean, he was all around it last night. I thought, you know, he might end up scoring the winning goal last night. He had one of those nights where I thought at a certain point it was going to work, and Dylan was fine there. The other two, just okay. You know, Kadri, I thought, was arguably, again, as good a forward as they had. So, not sure he got the type of help and support that Daryl would have been looking for. I think that's pretty evident in some of his post-game comments. So, I'd give it an okay grade. I didn't love it. It's one game. There were certainly things I liked. But last night wasn't about lines and line combinations and lineups. It just, Flames made too many big mistakes when the game was on the line. And, you know, it's two games in a row now where, you know, a game was hanging in the balance, and there's been some self-inflicted wounds for sure. So you want to clean that up a little bit and, you know, see where the season goes from here.
You talked about that new look top line, if you will, with Kadri, Huberto, and Mangiapane. Obviously the head coach was quick to point out last night, I asked him what he made of the lines and had a quick comment about Jonathan and how he's seen him last night. And I'll play that for you in just a second here, Lou, but I'll also play a bit from Daryl in the media availability today following practice, because him and Wes had Wes Gilbertson, our friend from Post Media, who joins Pat on Flames Talk a couple times a week, had a good back and forth on what that speeding up means for Darryl and what he wants to see out of Jonathan. So I'll play the clip from last night that started this whole conversation on Jonathan, and then I'll follow it up with Darryl's comments this morning and a little back and forth with Wes Gilbertson on what he wants to see from Jonathan going forward.
Jonathan's got to speed his game up, that's for sure.
So obviously that caught a lot of people last night, Lou, and then today a little bit more in-depth on Sutter and Huberto.
I think with players like that that are cerebral guys, right, when they... the way they see the game, but you got to do it moving. I think sometimes you can a little bit paralyze yourself.
Sort of the same qualities that you hear, like I can slow the game down, you kind of need him to take it the other way.
Yep, for sure. It's not a work thing or anything like that, it's just the pace of the game, right?
And would you say that's different than what he was doing for the last decade in Florida?
I mean, that style?
Just, are you asking for a different pace than maybe he's accustomed to?
No. I don't, that pace isn't just moving. The pace is also seeing what's there, too, and the way the game's played more.
Well, really good exchange. Some excellent questions by Wes, which no one who covers this hockey team would ever be surprised in. So here's my read on this whole situation. There is no doubt with a young man that I've known since he was a 17-year-old member of the St. John Sea Dogs that he is a deeply invested person. He's had great success in his hockey career going all the way back to then, because of his skill, his will, and his want to make things happen, especially in key moments, which, especially in junior, I could barely go watch a game or call a game that he played in, you know, without him making a huge impact. So I think a few things are going on here. And when you have really caring people, and, you know, he signed a big extension, and he's, Logan, I don't know how to describe it to you, and it's not like I've heard this directly from Jonathan, but I think Jonathan was incredibly hurt by what happened this summer.
Without a doubt.
And, yes, I think he so desperately wants to be a terrific player for the Calgary Flames, that as Darryl said, you know, I think he's almost paralyzing himself a little bit, and it's not going well, and it's been a long time since, you know, he's had a situation like this, and he's never played in a Canadian market before where the noise is loud. And his noise would be loud enough because of how much he cares and how invested he is. He's a consummate professional. And I also think that there's not only an adjustment to the style of how Calgary wants to play, I think there's an adjustment in terms of the type of accountability from others that he is getting. And I think that's an adjustment, too. So it's all going to work itself out. There's going to be some tough moments, as there was last night, some growing pains. And I don't ever want to speak for Darryl, but I have a tendency to think that Darryl can be the most difficult and demand the most from the people that he sees the most in. And I played for coaches as a kid like that. You know, I was around other teams, you know, growing up, certainly with a coach very similar to how I perceive Darryl. And, you know, that's an adjustment too. So that's my read right now on the Jonathan Huberdeau situation, but he's too good a player. And, you know, the first thing I always listen for when a player isn't playing the way he wants is one thing, Logan, and that's this. Does the individual take responsibility or does he blame others? What did Jonathan do last night and today?
Took it on the shoulders, took it on himself.
Took it on the shoulders. I'm not good enough. I'm way better than this. I have to be way better than this. I generally find in all my experience of covering sports, those type of people are not the people to worry about. But because generally they're their own hardest and harshest critic, sometimes those types of people can have trouble when it's not going well because of the extra pressure they put on themselves. Not sure if I'm one iota close on any front, because that's just my assessment. And as you know in this program, as much as you're going to hear me talk about hockey, you're going to hear me talk about people, because people still play the sport. And that's never changed. That's never going to change. And so that dynamic of how people deal on a daily basis with new people and different changes and different expectations doesn't affect everyone the same way.
Yeah, I think a lot of what you said there resonates, Lou, and I look at Jonathan's season as a whole so far, and it's only 8 games. I quickly wanted to point that out to everyone listening that's maybe nervous about what they've seen so far. And I mean, first of all, there's 5 points in those 8 games, so it's not like it's 0 or 1 or anything like that. He's still been a productive member of the team, but I really don't know if we ever anticipated or truly understood until we dove into it the kind of change that this guy has gone through, because of how different it was. I mean, just from a personal standpoint, Lou, moving from, you know, your most of your year being in Florida and the lifestyle and being as long for that community as he was, being a former draft pick of that team, to coming to Calgary and having all these expectations, that in and of itself is a very hard thing. Don't even add in trying to make it work in the most difficult hockey league in the world. Well, there's a lot to go here, and we're still very, very early on in the process. To me, the biggest thing, if you want to look for a silver lining in any of this, is just what Daryl said in that exchange with Wes, and it's not a work thing. This isn't a guy that's dogging it.
It's not an engagement thing. You know, the best players, when they're going well, they're not thinking. They're reading and reacting. But when you're not going well, and your mind is not quite as clear or clean as it should be, then you start overthinking. And that, you know, think about yourself. I know, as a very passionate person, and someone whose mind never shuts off, ever. And so when you're going through a tough time, your ability, and most of the time when you're a really driven person, your focus is on what you can be better at rather than what you're good at. That's a tough balance to find. So I said it after he was acquired. I said it back in September. When you give your heart and soul to one franchise for that length of time, you come off your best year ever, certainly points-wise, and in the regular season. And your team says, we think we can upgrade and we need something different than what you provide. In a sense, you're almost fired. That stinks. Trust me. And it hurts. And even when you are good at your craft and believe that you're good at your craft, no big check can fix that. that's about getting to a better place internally. And I put my reputation on the fact that this guy's going to find his way. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow or Saturday, but I believe in this person immensely. Immensely. Because he's smart and he cares and he's a pro and he's a grown-up. But this is a little something different. And we'll see where the story goes down the road and when it really matters the most.
Joining with our Flames insider, Pete Lombardi, is here on Sportsnet today. He joins us every single day to kick off the program. Yeah, brought to you by our good friends at the Gemini Group. Lou, I wanted to ask you before I let you go today, how important do you think the next stretch is for the Flames and how important it'll be for this group to finally get into more of a regular schedule? Because I feel like that's been part of this whole narrative the last couple of weeks, is just how inconsistent the schedule's been. The mix of practice and playing time has been so off of what we're used to in a regular season, let alone to start a season. I'm just curious how you see the next little while here, where they'll be busy, but they'll be a lot more close to a regular schedule than that they're used to most seasons, I should say.
Well, I think it's going to be great for the team, and I said it, you know, as I normally say things from the heart last night in the room, and you know, they can't start their road trip any sooner than Sunday when they make their way out east after playing New Jersey and a very good, exciting Buffalo-like New Jersey team on Saturday. But they've got two games in front of them. So I think it's terrific that, you know, the homestand is almost in the rearview mirror. I think last night will be beneficial to this group going forward. It was a hard reminder, but a stark reminder of, you know, doing what you need to do. And I can't think of a better thing for this team than getting out onto the road, you know, focusing on their job and being away a little bit from the outside noise and everything that's going on with the expectations. And nobody probably has bigger expectations for the first time ever of this team than myself. So I think November and then December is even busier than November, 15 this month, 16 next month. But it's time, you know, again, it's time to get back to being more like the team that we saw prior to last night. I didn't even really have a problem with the Oilers game whatsoever. Didn't like the fact that they lost it. Didn't like the fact they lost it to Edmonton. But as I said earlier this week, I'd put that game on the table most nights against that team and take my chances. Last night, not so much. That's not the Calgary Flames.
But Seattle team's starting to look a little bit more dangerous night in, night out. I can't get enough watching Matty Beniers. Lou, I didn't think it was his best. I've seen him in person. I've seen him three times in person now, and every time I watch, I still find myself just amazed at what he brings. But you know who really stirs the drink for me with Seattle when I watch him now is Burakovsky. I think they are going to love every minute of having that guy on their team. This just looks like a more complete, well-rounded Seattle team that we saw last night.
Well, I agree, and, you know, interesting that you mentioned the guys that you did. I mean, Beniers is a whale of a player. Burakovsky, going back to the first time I watched him, you know, in his time with the Erie Otters and playing with Connor McDavid and at World Juniors, you know, and what he's done in the NHL, obviously, he's always had great talent. That's why he was a first-round pick of Washington, you know, back in the draft. So there's never any question about that. I think Matty Beniers, it's funny. He plays for Ron Francis in Seattle. I'm not going to tell you that I see, you know, the same player. That's never fair on either front. But he's a highly competitive, smart, intelligent. He's an excellent two-way player already. So that's really exciting for them. But the thing that strikes me about Seattle is, I think their group of six on the back is just fine. got some puck movers. It's got some guys in Alexiak and Susie and Adam Larson who are hard to play against, big, physical. You know, they generally don't give up much. Like last night, you know, the Flames, even on a night where it didn't go very well for them in the end, threw 40 shots on net against a team that averaged 26 a game going in. But I like the foundation of their group. I like the structure. I think Dave Haxtell is a fine, fine hockey coach. So they're playing well. And when you think about the fact that if you add Magnus Hellberg to the mix, with Joey Decord last night, they're kind of down to goalie number five. And they're still finding a way to get it done.
Pretty impressive. We'll see them again this season, obviously being Pacific Division rivals for the Flames. But next up, a meeting with the Nashville Predators, who won't be happy with their effort against the Edmonton Oilers last night. And we'll dive a little bit more into them tomorrow, Lou. Appreciate the time as always, pal. Enjoy your afternoon. Stay warm, and we'll chat tomorrow on a game day.
Yeah, I'm not going out anywhere.
Keep it easy, pal. Hey.
Okay. Bye bye.
See you later. There you go, Pete Labardius, our Flames insider and the color voice on Flames broadcast here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. He's brought to you every single day by the Gemini Group. The Gemini Group Home Renovations knows your home renovations should be a reflection of who you are. Give your home the Gemini difference. The Gemini Group. Offering air miles, reward miles, visit GeminiGroup.ca. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. The NFL week kicks off tomorrow with Thursday night football, the Eagles and the Texans. Doesn't sound like it's going to be a premier matchup on a Thursday night, but lots to dive into around the league. Post-trade deadline in the NFL, one of our busiest trade deadlines in NFL history. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the fantasy impact of it all. Our fantasy football guru, Andy McNamara, is set to join the program. Next, you can get your questions in for Ask Andy. Start, sit questions, trade questions, anything that you've got for Andy McNamara, 960-960. Ask Andy with Andy McNamara coming up next here on Sportsnet 960. The
Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Continuing here on hour one of Sportsnet today. There is only 1 hour, segment two of hour one. Talked a lot of hockey in the first segment. Peter Labardius dove into the Seattle Kraken and the Calgary Flames from last night. And yesterday, not only a Flames game day, but it was also the NFL's trade deadline. And as busy a trade deadline as I can remember. And so there's only one person that we like to bring in on Wednesdays to talk NFL football, period. But now we have lots to dive into, not only from a fantasy perspective, but from a league perspective. So let's go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and welcome in our pal Andy McNamara on this Wednesday afternoon. AMC, how are you, pal?
Logan, I'm doing a TikTok dance or transition right now. Sorry. Hello. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. How are you, pal?
I also TikTok. I'm with you. I don't get it. There's too many flashy transitions. I don't know how to do it. It scares me.
It's too much.
Twitter and Instagram. That's it.
Yeah, I'm getting there. There's new kids here trying to hip us up, Andy. And it's a slow grind. Let me tell you.
Keep us young, brother. I'm doing well though. I'm doing well. Yeah, crazy trade deadline. Already week nine. This is bye Mageddon. We have tons of teams on bye, so there's a lot to get to.
Quick reminder to our listeners, if you want to get your fantasy football questions in, we'll have Ask Andy coming up in just a few short moments. 960-960. The fan feedback line is open to you. If you want some start sit suggestions, is your trade deadline coming up in your fantasy league and you need to make a decision or get an extra opinion on a trade? You feeling in, like Andy said, on a bye week? We got all the answers for you, so make sure you get your questions in shortly. I guess, Andy, this will be the best way I can transition. If I can, you know, change my ways and embrace a new level of social media, I guess maybe the NFL can change and embrace a busy trade deadline. I can't ever remember it being as busy as long as I've followed the league. How exciting was it for you yesterday to watch along with the rest of us and see all those big trades go down?
Well, it was really weird because, yeah, you're right. NFL trade deadline is usually a snoozer. You know, you have a couple late draft picks go, and it's like, you know, okay, there just traditionally hasn't been a lot of trades or high-profile trades, but we started to see that a few days ago too, right? Those early deals coming in, and then the deadline, it was very refreshing. I don't know if the NFL itself somehow was like, hey, do more trades. I don't really know how you would do that. But it seems like they finally realized, like, there's money to be had by having an entertaining trade deadline. They're on it. There's some good names moving around.
Yeah, it was interesting, too, because I don't know what it is about. I mean, the NBA is the opposite of this, because the NBA hands out draft picks and trades draft picks like they're going out of style, Andy.
Yeah.
But the NFL's never really been like that, and I've always wondered why that is. I've never understood why a contending team wasn't more willing to drop a third-round pick on a guy to help them this season. There's always been that resistance, and, hey, I get it. If you draft well, you know, cost certainty and all that can happen. But I've just always been surprised about that from the NFL side of things.
Me too, and not a lot of traditionally player-for-player deals either, right? And we saw a few of those, you know, Nyheim Hines, Zach Moss, and picks being included. Roquan Smith deal had Klein going back the other way. And so you had some of those combined with a lot of picks and all that. So it was refreshing, and maybe it's a case where we're seeing a lot more younger, analytics-driven front offices where the dinosaurs just wouldn't do it or wouldn't trade with division rivals. That was such a faux pas. Well, look at the deal that the Vikings and the Lions did. I bet you 10 years ago, 5 years ago, you'd never see that. So it is refreshing. It makes it certainly more fun and puts a new wrinkle in for real-life football, for the betting side, and, of course, for fantasy football. Because now it's not just, okay, who got traded? That was fun. It's that got traded. Okay, how does this affect my fantasy team? And how does it affect the team that the player is going to and left? So lots of moving pieces.
Yeah, that was maybe my favorite part about it was I love the big trades. I'm so happy. I think the league's better for it when these sort of things mm-hmm. happen. But, man, was there a lot of fantasy impact that happened over the last couple of days? Ooh. So I'll hit on a couple of them with you. Some of them are less impactful, and, you know, I'm not sure that we're going to dive into Chase Edmonds heading to Denver or anything like that. But I want to start with this one because this one's intriguing to me in a lot of ways, and I know a lot of people have been curious about it. What did you make when you saw Kadarius Toney traded to the Chiefs? Did you think, that's a guy I got to go and roster immediately, or are you more of a wait-and-see approach with that?
Kadarius Toney, I think, is a lot of sizzle, not a lot of steak. And I understand why the Chiefs did it, because I feel they will try to integrate him into the old Tyreek Hill role. That's really what's been missing, the gadget guy, right? Now, Tyreek Hill can run as good a route as anybody, go deep, but he also has those gadget plays. Where can you line him up? Behind the line of scrimmage, on those sweeps. Like, you could, he was a Swiss Army knife, a tool that you could use. And Kadarius Toney has that type of skill set that you can do it. Now, he's not the player Tyreek Hill is, but he does have that sort of razzle-dazzle flair that has been missing from that offense all year. So I see them probably easing him in, and he's been so injury-prone. There's off-the-field stuff. Who knows if he can turn it around or not. But from a pure talent athleticism level, if he keeps his mind open, clear, and focused with the Chiefs and Andy Reid, he could be a future star, but right now I'm not overly interested in putting him in my fantasy lineup.
What did you make of the Detroit Lions trading T.J. Hockenson to the Vikings? Mm. Irv Smith's actually been a pretty handy flyer for a lot of people this year, but T.J. Hockenson was one of those guys I think that you could talk about in at least the top 10 tight end conversation in terms of fantasy football year after year, and they go out and move him to the Vikings.
And yeah, interdivision deal, which, again, you don't really see a lot of.
No.
I understand it from the Minnesota side, Irv Smith Jr. to the IR. You bring T.J. Hockenson over, who's a better receiving option, who can also block than Irv Smith Jr. And I think, fantasy-wise, what the impact could be is positive in that Justin Jefferson has had too much of a roller coaster season. Now, he's had some real big pops, but teams know Adam Thielen's on the down, on the decline. You don't have to pay that much attention to him as you had to a couple years ago. KJ Osborne, I don't think they use him enough, but he's not to that level. Now, you had TJ Hockenson in that tight end spot. Now, if you're an opposing defense, you got to focus because TJ Hockenson can break out. But then that hopefully gives a little more room to Justin Jefferson. So I think Justin Jefferson, fantasy owners, should be quite happy with this deal. For TJ Hawkinson owners, it concerns me a bit because traditionally with Kirk Cousins and over the last few years, the Vikings have not really utilized the tight end. But you could also argue they haven't had a talent like Hawkinson at the position. Like Kyle Rudolph was fine, but, you know, it wasn't too exciting. So it's interesting for Hawkinson, but as we know, Logan, you can, you know, get four catches on a day and you can be a top tight end this year.
Yeah, no kidding. Pretty bad. It's a bad landscape out there.
Yeesh.
A couple more here. We'll get to Ask Annie in just a couple moments. I see the questions coming in at 960, 960, so keep throwing them in on the text line. We'll get to Ask Annie in just a couple moments here. I'm curious between these two running backs that got traded to contenders yesterday, Andy, which one you think might have the bigger upside fantasy football-wise, Jeff Wilson Jr. or Nyheim Hines?
I think Jeff Wilson Jr. Well, first of all, just straight up, I don't think either of them is going to have a positive fantasy impact. But there's, I think the path is better for Jeff Wilson Jr. if there's an injury. And maybe a little bit of a timeshare. They're reuniting that San Francisco sort of unit, right? You got Mostert there. Edmonds got dealt away. But really, Wilson is in that kind of change of pace backup who can jump up. I'm still a fan. I still have him on one of my teams. I'm not going to start him, but I'll keep him on my bench for a little bit to see how it plays out. And if Mostert gets hurt, Wilson can step in for sure. Hines, upgrade from Zach Moss. The receiving upside of Hines is better, but you still got two other backs ahead of you in Buffalo, so how much is he really going to be used if it's not for an injury? Right? Because it's not like Josh Allen is Captain Checkdown here, right? This guy, he's not looking down. He's looking downfield. He's not looking beside him.
Yeah.
So I don't think Nyheim Hines is going to have that much of an impact. Again, if you have Nyheim Hines, keep him on your bench. See how it unfolds. See if there's any injuries. You know, for immediate, it's not going to be anything. You know, I'm not putting him in a DraftKings lineup even to be cute on a contrarian play, nothing like that. I'm just going to sort of keep him wait and see.
This one before we get, this last one before we get to Ask Andy, to me is the most intriguing one because I really don't know what to make of what the Bears did. They sold off some assets on defense and then gave up some assets to bring in Chase Claypool. And hey, I've talked to you about this before. I'm always up for teams supporting their young quarterbacks with talent.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, I'm very happy. But Chase Claypool's been a roller coaster ride in Pittsburgh, and I'm curious how you see the fit in Chicago going forward.
Well, he had some maturity issues, right? And I'm just glad I can now start cheering for Chase Claypool because he's off of the Steelers. Because I really liked him coming out of the draft. But I'm like, I have to not like you, Chase. Sorry, buddy. He was maturity issues in his rookie year, and you're right, absolutely up and down, but look at what his quarterback situation has been like. Glue factory version of Ben Roethlisberger, and then Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky. Oof, you know. Now what we see, you go to Justin Fields, who's been trending upward the last 3-4 weeks. Really like Justin Fields as far as going forward. He's still available in probably just over 50% of leagues. So if you need some wide or some quarterback help, his rushing yards has gone up the last 3 weeks. His passing yards, smarter decisions, better playmaking. And now you're adding a young, talented, athletic guy who, if they can get on the same page, this is the perfect option for Justin Fields to have that guy that all quarterbacks have, your go up and get it guy. Because Chase Claypool immediately, pure talent wise, is the best receiver on this Bears team by a long shot. So I like how they support him, but you're right. It is peculiar because you got rid of the defensive guys, so you're kind of half helping and sort of partly rebuilding. I'm not quite sure what they're doing, but that addition on paper anyway, tremendous add, I think, for both players.
There's some fantasy football fallout there from Andy McNamara after NFL trade deadline. As busy a one as we can remember, but let's get to it. We do it every single week with Andy. It's time for another edition of Ask Andy.
You've got fantasy questions. He has fantasy answers. Helping you week by week in the leagues you love. It's time for Ask Andy on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, AMC, let's get to it. The fan feedback line is open and full of questions for you ahead of the NFL week kicking off tomorrow night with Thursday Night Football. Let's start with an easy one, Andy. PPR, flex spot, CEH or Gibson?
Gotta go Antonio Gibson. CEH is just in a schmoz in Kansas City. At least Gibson has, I'm not necessarily confident in what his full role is, but it looks like he's sort of settling into a low double digit fantasy point spot, which I will take that sort of consistency over CEH, who more often than not is not going to produce.
This is a PPR league, and this texter is asking, we've got his or her wide receivers here, and they're wondering if Hunter Renfrow is still worth a spot. So I'll give you the receivers, Andy. You tell me if they should be keeping Hunter Renfrow or not, okay?
Okay.
Smith-Schuster from KC. You got Kirk from Jacksonville. Brandon Cooks in Houston, and Jahan Dotson from Washington.
Oh, that's not great. That's not great, Logan.
No, the depth falls off there.
That's not, okay. So Hunter Renfrow, I don't think you need to keep him, but your other options aren't great either. So, like, I guess if you want to replace him with someone, Renfro's fine to drop. I got a guy you can pick up today. Okay, people? Khalif Raymond, Lions, as of Tuesday, 1% ownership. That's your guy. I would drop Hunter Renfrow and go get yourself some Khalif Raymond today. The answer being because he has leapfrogged Josh Reynolds. He had the most receiving yards of any Lions receiver a week ago. Hawkinson's gone. There's going to be more targets. Khalif Raymond for streaming with six teams on bye. Forget Hunter Renfrow. Go get Khalif Raymond of the Lions. There's your guy.
Andy, what do I do with Deebo Samuel? Is there another receiver you think I could target in a trade involving Deebo?
You know what, man? I would keep Deebo. I would. They're still going to find a way to use Deebo. Brandon Ayuk is the odd man out. That's the guy you want to try to move on from. I'm not saying don't be a little nervous. Like, I understand the hesitancy with it because, Christian McCaffrey said, but Deebo's still super talented. You cannot rely on the health of George Kittle. So they're going to find a way to get the ball in their playmaker's hands. And I'm just really interested to see how San Francisco does it as McCaffrey gets more acclimated to that team. Like, do you line both? Like, you could have some fun with this, right? You could have both of them in the backfield. You could slide them both out to the slot. You could do one and beat. Like, you could do a lot there. So I'm not too worried about Deebo.
Hey, Logo and Andy, I got two questions for Andy today. Question one, should I go with Brady or Dalton this week? So we'll go with that one first.
Oh, boy.
I benched Tom Brady last week, and I was happy for it. I'm going to be very honest with you.
I know. I'm in 1-2 QB league, Logan. I picked up Andy Dalton. Okay? Facts are facts. Andy Dalton's a better fantasy option than Tom Brady. It seems like this year we've been saying when I'm on with you a lot, like, wow, I can't believe I'm saying that. But we've been saying that a lot.
We have been. We absolutely have been.
Look, Andy Dalton, almost 30 fantasy points 2 weeks ago. Now he threw three picks, but he had four touchdowns. Two touchdowns, no picks a week ago. You're facing Baltimore. Now, they've tried to juice up that defensive core. I don't know if everybody's going to be in full swing, so I think if you are going to face them, now is maybe the time to do it. But after that, you got Pittsburgh. That's a good matchup. You know, so, yeah, I think you go Andy Dalton over Tom Brady. Since we're saying that, it is time for Tom Brady to retire.
Yeah, no kidding. Again, the second part of this question, give me two running backs out of these three, Eno Benjamin, Kenyon Drake, or Damian Harris.
Eno and Harris.
Let's try to get a couple more here, in on Ask Andy. Andy, I need to start one of these running backs, Jeff Wilson Jr., Eno Benjamin, or Antonio Gibson. Texter says I'm leaning towards Gibson.
And he needs one?
Yeah.
Okay. Out of those, I do like myself, you know, but far from a sure thing. You got to go with Antonio Gibson, who really, I know Brian Robinson's there, but you look at the last 2 weeks, he's eclipsed 20 fantasy points. Both weeks. right? Yep. Now, that can change. The tricky part is that can change, and the Taylor Heinicke situation is volatile. But I'll go with the hot hand that is Gibson right now.
A couple more for you, Andy. Question about James Robinson. Where are you sitting on him right now? Is this a guy that's worth keeping on my bench?
Yes, absolutely worth keeping on your bench. I wouldn't be looking to play him this week against the Buffalo Bills. That seems unpleasant with that Bills defense. But, again, he just got to the Jets. Let's see how he works in. I think it's a real negative for him and Michael Carter both, because I could see it turning into a type of timeshare similar to what it was in Jacksonville. But we saw in that type of timeshare in Jacksonville. But James Robinson could still, at times, be productive. First 3 weeks of the season, he sure was. Now, that was when Etienne was getting back into it a little bit. But an injury pops up, and all of a sudden, he's right there. I always err on the side of keeping a running back over a wide receiver, for example. So I would keep him.
Let's try to get as many in here quickly as we can, Andy. All right. Tight on time, as always. The text line always blows up, and this always happens to us. But we'll try to get as many of these answered as we can. Gabe texted in. He's one of the many that's been holding on to Cam Akers and was hoping for a trade. Didn't happen. Do I drop him now or keep hoping on, or keep holding on to hope that something might progress with the Rams?
It's over, folks. Cut him. Done.
Andy, yeah, who should I start this week, Claypool or Renfro?
I'll go with Claypool. Even if he's not fully in with the Bears, Renfro's not getting anything. So, yeah, go Claypool.
This is another one I'm stunned that we're talking about. What do I do with Jonathan Taylor, Andy? My other two options are Etienne and Singletary. Need two backs in a standard league. I think you're going to start Taylor there, but I can understand why there's hesitation.
Yeah, I totally get the question, but die with your stars. Die with your stars. Etienne's been real good, though. That's like, I would maybe see, like, who can you work both in? Like, who's in your flex? You got someone on your flex who's a bit of a bubble guy? Because I want Etienne in my lineup as well, but you can't take out Jonathan Taylor. So try to find a way to get both in.
And last one, Andy. Texter needs to pick up a running back after just making a trade away from one. Waiver wire targets for them include Gibson, Gordon, Henderson Jr., Wilson Jr., or Eno Benjamin.
Oh, Antonio Gibson's on the waiver wire? Wow. Yeah, go get Gibson.
Yep.
Look what he's been doing. I just read it up. Look what he's been doing the last couple of weeks. Go get Gibson, for sure.
I've enjoyed, I've had Antonio Gibson on one of my lineups this year, too, and he's been a sneaky good ad there and continues to get usage in that Washington offense. So
yeah.
It doesn't seem to matter who's the quarterback. He's got it there. Andy, always appreciate the time. And, look, you're already – I always get amazed at this. You're one of the hardest-working people in sports broadcasting. You have 1,000 things going on. And you tell me there's more on the horizon for you. What's new in your world, pal?
Yes. So I got two new shows, actually. One is called The Sick Podcast with Andy McNamara, which is me. Cleveland Browns, fantasy football, and sports betting. So not just if you're not a Browns fan, that's fine. We got a whole mix for you. That's every Tuesday and Friday. It's on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, at AndyMC81. So it's The Sick Podcast with Andy McNamara. So I always squeeze in some wrestling. I had Brian Pillman Jr. from AEW on this past week.
Nice.
That's up on my Twitter now. Fascinating wrestling talk. Like, he talks a bit of Bengals, but skip through that. Get to the wrestling part. Really. And he drops some info, Logan, that I'm like, I don't know if you should have let that one go. I see the little inside. I'm like, I don't want to get him in trouble. But, you know, so check that out. And then Sundays, over 180 platforms on the Fired Up Network. It's the ultimate fantasy football show, and that's where, you know, we go through your start, sit, your injury, last-minute questions, all that, hashtag Ask Andy. So check that out. Follow the social media, and I'm pretty much everywhere. So
Andy, you're the best, man. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later. Good luck.
Take care. Andy McNamara, our fantasy football guru, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. If we missed your question, Andy's nice to fans with him on Twitter. He's at AndyMC81. Just make sure you use the hashtag AskAndy. That'll do it for Sportsnet today. The Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich is next. Thank you to Andy. Thank you to Lou for joining us. Shout out to Taylor and Cam for making this whole gig work. We'll be back tomorrow on a game day here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.